Let the Galaxy Burn. Narrated by a Border Prince. Defixio by Ben Counter. Orcs! Screamed someone over the radio, and the concussion of the first crude shells rang through the ground into the reeking, cramped interior of the Defixio. Samuel shouldered the massive weight of the Sponson's heavy bolter and squinted through the vision slit. He could see nothing of the ambush, just wisps of smoke drifting in from the front of the convoy. But he could already hear the confusion of noise building up. Broken voices over the comms, dull thuds from up ahead, and the exterminator crew around him getting to battle posts. He was bad luck, they said. Samuel was beginning to think they were right. Crew, hold up! Came Commander Karavras's voice over the rumble of the treks and the ringing of explosions. Samuel glanced round to see Grek heaving the autocannon rounds into their chambers, gang tattoos rippling across his back. Above him, the skinny form of Damrid crammed itself into the turret gunner's chair. Defixio requests target locations, barked Karavras into the comms. But all he got was static shot through with screams. He turned back and shouted over the noise of the Defixio's engines. Crew, I want targets now! Light armor and infantry priority! There was a vast, terrible crunching explosion, and Samuel's vision was filled with an orange-white sheet of flame billowing towards him. He darted back from the sponson as a tongue of fire licked through the vision slit. His gas mask's intake suddenly choked with smoke and fumes. There was a hideous, wrenching sound as Dniep gunned the engine and the Defixio ploughed through the wreckage of the shattered tank ahead of them. "What the bloody hell was that?" bawled Karavras. "Hellhound!" shouted back Samuel. "They got Lucolo's Hellhound!" Burning bodies tumbled across the dark earth outside, and Samuel was thankful he couldn't hear them scream. "Targets!" The voice was Damrid's up in the turret, bringing the Defixio's autocannons to bear. Kaelin, on the opposite sponson, opened up and suddenly the Defixio's interior was full of a staccato battering of the heavy bolter's reports, hot shell casings everywhere. "Come get some, you grunt-licking sons of bitches!" Karavras swung open the front hatch and put his head out to see what was happening. When he came back down, the side of his face was dark with soot. "Get the half-track!" Samuel didn't hear over the din, but he knew that Damrid would be muttering a prayer to the Emperor, like he always did, just before the twin thunderclap of the autocannon blanked out the world for a split second. All of Defixio's firepower was brought to bear on the orcs, apart from Samuel's sponson. He couldn't see the orcs, and now thick smoke was sweeping across the valley from what must be half the convoy burning up ahead. It was choking the interior too, but the crew barely noticed. Every breath a chemdog took was drawn through a respirator or jerry-built gas mask, and most of them were used to breathing stuff that would kill most people. Grek yanked the glowing hot shells out of the breach and slammed another two home, and Kaelin continued to fill the air with bursts of heavy bolter fire. "Samuel, get me targets!" shouted Karavras. Unlike the rest of the crew, his voice was unimpaired by ugly implants or a gas mask. Savlar Aristos didn't have such things because back home they breathed clean, imported air. "Nothing, sir," replied Samuel, and even as he said it, a monstrously crude jet intake sucked the smoke away and he was looking at the underside of the ugliest, squattest aircraft he had ever seen. It flew so low it must have clipped the Vox aerial, sounding like a nuclear wind, and followed by a score of rickety buggies, half-tracks and bikes, crewed by insane greenskins, teeth bared and guns roaring. They barreled down the side of the valley at astonishing speed, and one of them slammed into the Defixio's side, so the tank slewed wildly, and Samuel was thrown onto his back. A gunfire rattled along the Defixio's armour, and Damrid swung the turret towards the horde. Then, the roar of the dog-nosed fighter again, as it spiralled down for another pass. This time, Cannon shells lanced down from above, ripped chunks out of the ground and burst through Samuel's side of the defixio like a hammer through glass. Samuel heard no noise, because the din had built up into a wall of white noise that filled his ears. Through the yearning hole in the tank's side, he saw a swarming mass of green-skinned maniacs sweeping down into the valley. Samuel realized he had been blown clear across the tank's interior, and that Kalin's gun was still firing wildly, even as the wall of white noise toppled over and everything went blank. When he woke, all he saw was the grim grey sky of Jaegersweald. There was only one planet Samuel had seen uglier than this one, and that was Savlar itself. The guard was supposed to be a way of getting off Savlar and the dead moons, with their chem pits and convict cities. All the guard had done for him was drag him from planet to misbegotten planet, kill his friends, make him a jinx. Because he had been a sole survivor, he had used up more than his fair share of luck already, and whoever had to serve with him next would have that little bit less luck to go around. Sole survivors were as unlucky as it got. Still, he wasn't dead yet. He sat up and felt the ache running down his limbs, and the sharp shots of pain where his skin had been hit by shrapnel. He took a breath of Jaegersweald's damp, unhealthy air and heard the metallic sigh as it was forced through the implants inside his ribcage. Samuel's implants were more sophisticated than most, because those willing and able to work as administrators were worth keeping alive for longer than the average chem dog. But the guardsmen of the Savlar regiment, of course, had little respect for such skills. They were towards the top of the valley slope. The defixio stood nearby. The profile of the Exterminator-class battle tank was broken by all manner of salvaged and stolen bits Deneep had bolted on. Armour plates, trophies, stowage. Kalin had tied a string of ore cans around his sponson mount, the freshest still glinting with moistness. The oldest shriveled and rotted. The Savlar regimental markings were stenciled onto one side of the turret. On the other, splattered on in Deneep's loose hand, were the bold white letters that read, Defixio. The tank had been sprayed in the drab, brown-grey camouflage scheme common to everything on Jaeger's world, but the various shades of the bits and pieces bolted and tied on made it something very different from what must have rolled out of the factory on some far-flung forge world. Samuel was coming to realise that it was their tank now, their home and their protection, as well as the weapon they were ordered to use, and because it was theirs, the crew made sure that in the process of repairing and maintaining it, they left it looking like it had been through its fair share of battles and firefights. They said almost everything had been replaced on the hulking vehicle, until it was almost entirely composed of what they had installed or repaired. The tank belonged to the crew, far more than it belonged to the Imperial Guard, and that was just how the crew wanted it. Deneep himself was kneeling at the defixio's other side and welding a huge sheet of salvaged metal over the hole in the side armour, which would become one more battle wound carried proudly like a badge of honour.
"Looks like all your luck's used up after all."
Samuel looked up to see Kalin standing over him. Kalin was a big guy, tall and broad-shouldered, with skin so appallingly pitted and eroded by the constant rain of chemicals he had lived through that Samuel had seen healthier-looking corpses. The unsophisticated respirator implants under his jaw confirmed he had grown up in the chem mines of the dead moons, which was a feat in itself.
"Miracle we made it this far with a jinx.
Save it for the greenskins, Kalin."
Kalin stooped down and pushed his ravaged face closer. The orc bones hanging around his neck jangled like wind chimes.
"You're a jinx, boy. One of them things sent to plague us. Like the greenskins ain't bad enough. Don't you start thinking we'll look out for you or miss you when you're dead. Grek's dead and we're on our way out. And it'll all be because we went and took in a jinx."
"Grek's dead." Kalin indicated the loader's body, laid out in the shade of a rock. One side of his torso, dark red and swollen under the tattoos.
dead as they come. Busted all his ribs, turned his guts to Grok's food. Like I said, miracle if any of us make it now. Jinx and a guild boy, Emperor's teeth.
He saw Samuel's confused frown and smiled with a mouthful of teeth stunted with inhaling acidic air.
You didn't know about Karavras? You know that damn stick he carries?
Samuel nodded. Karavras always carried a silver swagger stick, but Samuel had assumed it was just a gimmick, like other officers insisted on wearing full-dress medals or parade swords.
It's a badge of office, made of titanium. He's not just an aristo, he's from the guild. When he's not plain soldier with a tank full of us plebs, the bastard sits in orbit and sells the filth we churn out of the dead moons. People like him worked everyone I know near to death. Most of us aren't even cons. We're second generation or more, but they don't care. Long as they keep the trade going, we're just machines to make them creds. Used up Grek like he used up after men on the dead moons.
When Karavras approached with Damrid, Samuel couldn't help noticing the shining swagger stick the officer still held in his hand. In the other was a salvaged visor scope, just one of the pieces of non-standard equipment that tended to turn up in any chemdog's vehicle.
"We're not rejoining the convoy," said Karavras. "Why not?" asked Deneep, looking up from his hurried weld job. "Because it's not there. We lost about 3/4 strength in that ambush, and the tail end must have retreated. We can't hook up with them because our comms are out and the orcs have cut us off."
"Then what do we do?" asked Kaelin, quick to anger. "Wait for a greenskin patrol to skin us alive?"
"The nearest regimental HQ is the Cadian 24th, 1,500 kilometres west."
"3 days across Orkeld land?"
"Exactly, Kaelin. I wouldn't like to think you were questioning this course of action." Kaelin muttered something under his breath that Samuel was glad he didn't quite catch.
"Now, crew," continued Karavras, "since Samuel is back with us, I think this is an appropriate time for a reading. Damrid."
"Sir."
Damrid stepped forward, fishing a small prayer book from his ill-fitting fatigues. He began to speak of hope and duty, of how they were all sinners who wanted only to survive that they might redeem themselves in the Emperor's service. The words were familiar to Samuel. He had heard such things so often before in the chapels of the administrative colony where he had once lived. But he knew they were not meaningless, even if he had trouble believing them. Devotion was the only thing keeping many guardsmen sane, and even he, sometimes, found himself calling to the Emperor for help, especially when he fought his way out of a flaming wreck and felt the flames on his back as he leapt from the white-hot explosion behind him. He was a sole survivor. Perhaps the Emperor had already heard him once and wasn't ready to grant a miracle a second time. Maybe that was why he was supposed to be so unlucky. Samuel and Damrid buried Grek's body quickly. Orcs were little more than animals, and they could home in on a spoiled corpse like any other beast. Samuel didn't object when Damrid rifled through his dead comrade's fatigues and pocketed the few trinkets and ammo rounds he found. He'd done the same himself, to friend and foe.
"Is it wrong?" asked Damrid, faltingly. "Is it wrong to lose a fellow man and think we're better off without him?"
"I don't know," replied Samuel. "I didn't know him long."
The last handful of damp earth was thrown over the dead man's face.
"You didn't want to. He was bad. The worst."
"What did he do?"
It wasn't a question that was generally asked of a chemdog, for a man's crimes was his own business. But Grek was dead, and he wasn't about to complain.
"A slaver. He ran with the uncleans. Some Arbites tracked him down, but he found them first. And when he finished with them, they say they couldn't tell they had ever been human. And he never changed. That was the worst. He never saw the light. He never stopped hurting people. When we evacuated the civilians out of the south, he went missing for a few days. And after he came back, we'd hear stories about families burned in bunkers and children hunted down for sport. They blamed it on the orcs, but Grek had some things he kept. I think he was the worst sort of person."
Samuel was grateful for an unhealthy shudder from the Defixio's engines as they kicked protesting into life.
"Don't know if she'll hold together," Danique was saying. "Fuel's not a problem. We can run a Lehman Russ on boot leather and bad language. But she took a big hit back there, and the track drives are looking shaky."
"Will it last?" Caravras's voice was dispassionate. He must have known that his life depended on the Defixio not breaking down, but he didn't sound like it. Deneep stood up, wiping the oil off his hands onto his stained fatigues.
3 days? I'd be surprised, sir. But then again, sometimes even I get surprised by how much punishment these things can take."
"Good." The officer raised his voice. "Burial detail. Are you finished?" Damrid raised a hand. He had rolled up the sleeves of his fatigues, and for the first time Samuel noticed something. A tattoo. A skull surrounded by barbed wire with a barcode underneath, at the top of the boy's arm. It was one of the many symbols branded on the fresh convicts brought in to keep up the population of the Dead Moons, which meant that Damrid wasn't second generation like Samuel had assumed. He was a con. What had he done, this boy? He heard tales of kids slung into the chem mines for stealing loaves of bread or failing to cheer when the planetary governor waved to the crowds. Poor lad. Life could be bad enough without being sentenced to a slow death when you were hardly old enough to know what right and wrong really were. "And weaponry?"
"Loaded and ready,"
came Kaelin's voice from within the hall. "Very well. The Orcs will have patrols out looking for us, and we must not give them the chance to find us. We roll out immediately." They clambered into the Defixio, Damrid into the turret to take the first lookout, with Caravras alongside Deneep at the front. Kaelin and Samuel meanwhile slumped against the sponson mounts to catch some of the noisy, cramped downtime that passed for sleep on the move. You can't dream when you're not asleep, but it still felt like a nightmare. It wasn't that long ago it had happened, but he knew it would be burned across his mind's eye until he breathed his last. It was the reason he was on the Defixio at all, and the reason they all thought what Kaelin spoke, that Samuel was a jinx who had used up too much of his luck. His previous tank, an executioner, had found itself surrounded and outnumbered by light vehicles and bikes the greenskins rode like madmen. He saw the billowing black-red of the fire and felt the heat across his face. He felt the cold earth against his back heating up as fuel spilled over the ground and rippled towards him on fire. He could see, as if they were in front of him right now, the silhouettes of his old crewmates. Fire at their backs and orcs at their front, blasting away with sidearms at their assailants. When the magazines had gone up from a lucky warbike shot, the rear of the tank's hull had been torn off, and Samuel had tumbled out while the burning wreck slid to a halt, and there his crewmates had made their stand. Living on a planet like Savlar meant you valued every scrap of pride you scrounged, and the men who crewed the shattered tank weren't going to let themselves be taken prisoner by anyone or anything. Samuel watched as one was cut down by explosive shellfire, another ground beneath the wheels of a warbike that slewed insanely close. And then the plasma coils went critical. An expanding globe of white-hot energized plasma, like a new star, incinerated the crewmen and burned a hole in the Orc attack. When the smoke cleared and the bodies were recovered, Samuel was the only one alive. His injuries were minor, and the Orcs hadn't even noticed him in the confusion. He heard them all say he was the luckiest guardsman on the planet, but they weren't smiling when they said it. "No use, sir. Goes as far as I can see." Samuel snapped out of his half-sleep, and once more he was back inside the stale hull of the Defixio. He knew something was wrong because the tank was only moving slowly now, and Caravras was replacing Damrid at the turret hatch. Damrid dropped down onto the floor.
"What's happening?"
asked Kaelin, also jolted out of his own half-dreams.
"Minefield," came the reply,
and Samuel realised it was probably the worst possible answer. Orcs made no attempt to conceal their minefields, but they laid a hell of a lot. and didn't care if they lost a couple of their own to them, meaning the fields were always big with no way through. They also had a habit of packing them with so much explosive that they left craters the size of command bunkers. Current guard wisdom was that the orcs laid mines more because they liked the noise than for any strategic advantage. Karavras came back down and pulled a folded-up map from inside his greatcoat. He laid it out on the floor. It showed the northern part of the continent across which the Defixia was trying to travel. Samuel saw just how far they had to go, and how much of the ground they had to cover was covered in the green markers of known orc camps and outposts. Karavras stabbed at the map with the end of his swagger stick. "Dinip, this is our position?"
"Near enough."
Between the Defixio and the Cadian HQ lay the plain, bounded by contours. In the world outside, those contours were ragged, torn ranges of loose earth and landslides. No kind of country for a tank. "The minefield will have no safe channels, and the high ground is not an option. However, the field is not particularly deep. Diffusing is possible." Everyone looked at Dinip. He had a knack with anything technical. Samuel had heard tell of the miracles he had worked with the stubborn Lehman Russ engines, and no doubt he could have taught the Tech Guard engineers a thing or two about clearing mines.
"I could do it," he said,
with an uncharacteristic bravery that made Samuel realise just how desperate a situation they were in.
"What about patrols?" asked Kalen. "We'd be waiting here for hours, and the bloody greenskins could pick us off for fun."
"Dinip could stay." It was Damrid who spoke. By now, all the crew were crowded around the map.
"If someone marked the mines first, he'd defuse them in half the time. We'd have a driver in case we got jumped. He'd have to go out and clear a path afterwards, but not for as long. We'd still be targets, but we'd have a better chance."
"And we'd leave a man behind if we had to run for it," added Kalen grimly.
Karavras began folding up the map. "We're not leaving anyone, but we may find ourselves in a firefight, a man short. We're already down a loader."
"So who do we need the least?"
asked Dinip. And this time, they all looked at Samuel. It was dark by then. Jaeger's world had two moons, one large and bright, but its light was filtered through many layers of ever-present cloud, and a sickly grey glow fell over the landscape. The minefield was obvious enough. Some explosive-packed devices stuck above the ground, more of a challenge than a trap. But while they might have been animals, orcs were a very cunning type of beast. They would have some buried, so you couldn't see them, and those were the ones Samuel would have to spend a long time marking, so Dinip's foray would be as short as possible. Samuel told himself it could be done. It wasn't far across. And it certainly had to be done, for the loose, muddy hills on either side would be near impossible for the Defixio to clamber across, even with Dinip at the controls. Hopping down from the front hatch, Samuel was acutely aware of just how exposed he was. Outside the tank, he felt soft and vulnerable. Inside the tank, he was on home ground, a tiny bubble of the Imperium around him. Now he was behind Orc lines, and alone. He checked his gear. Flare gun, bayonet, another of Dinip's finds, a bag of spent shell casings to mark the mines. It wasn't slow work, but there were a lot of mines, densely packed to make the huge chain explosion the orcs like so much. He looked up every now and again to check for glints of approaching machinery against the grey-black horizon, and listened for the juddering drone of an orc engine. Once or twice he heard the clatter of gunfire far off, but that might mean anything in an orc war zone. They could be launching a major assault or just taking pot shots at one another for fun. That they were so difficult to predict was the worst thing, because you couldn't just herd them into a killing zone or cripple their economic base or any of the other things that worked with good old-fashioned humans. The only thing that worked was hatred. There was no sympathy, no honour. You had to exterminate them, all of them, because they were seemingly designed to spring up again at the slightest chance. Samuel knew that war against the orcs would never end. Even if they were wiped off the surface of Jaegersweald, the guard would just be packed off to the next planet that became infested, and it would begin all over again. For Samuel, it had become a case of getting out alive and hoping that some distant commander would grant him a plot on a conquered planet as reward for a lifetime of fighting, so he could let someone else do all the hating. But if he really had used up all his luck already, as the others suspected, then he didn't fancy his odds. The sound that alerted him was the squeal of metal on metal, as the Defixio's turret turned to face something he couldn't see. Samuel looked around him. He was more than halfway across the minefield, a long trail of shell casings marking the hidden mines. The Defixio was too far away. If he ran for it now, it would probably move before he got there, and he'd be left standing in full view of whatever was attacking. He obeyed the first rule of the Imperial Guard and kept his damn head down. The autocannon fired, and an explosion bloomed some way off. A group of vehicles was illuminated for the briefest moment. Bikes, huge clunking things like battering rams on wheels, with speeds limited only by the insanity of their riders. Orcs. They had been found. And now the greenskins were moving in for the kill. They were crazy, these bikers, but they were as dangerous as it got for a tank. They carried the crudest of explosives, which could crack open a Lehman Russ with ease. Samuel had seen it done, and now it was going to be done to the Defixio. The red-hot exhausts and muzzle flashes were visible now as the bikers careened down the valley at tremendous speed, and the Defixio was moving. It was heading the only way it could, towards the nearest ridge of surely impassable ground. Karav Ras was gambling on the tiny chance that the Defixio might make it, because the other chances were the minefield and the approaching orcs, and those odds were worse still. It wouldn't make it. No way. Kaelin Sponson chattered away at long range at the bikers, and after a worrying long wait, Damrid must be having to load it himself, thought Samuel, remembering Grek's shattered ribs, the autocannon fired again. Two bikes tumbled, flaming to a standstill, but the others sheared through their wreckage and stayed on course. The Defixio was at the foot of the ridge and began to climb, the loose earth already slipping under its tracks. The tank wouldn't have outrun the bikers at the best of times, and now it was slower still, hauling itself painfully up the crumbling slope as the bikers roared around it, sweeping towards its near side. Samuel Sponson fired, and the closest biker's front wheel was shredded, flipping the bike over and sending the orc rider somersaulting into the Defixio's side. Samuel realised that Karav Ras himself must be manning the gun. The officer's aim was good, but there was only so many rounds he could squeeze off, and the lead biker threw a grenade, fuse sparkling, at the tracks as he slewed past. The explosion was loud, even from where Samuel was lying, and he saw links of track flying. Three more followed as the bikers passed, Karav Ras's gun still firing, but blindly through smoke and shrapnel. Samuel knew they didn't think much of him. In fact, they would probably have preferred one less gunner than a sole survivor and the misfortune he brought. But they were still his comrades, and they were still soldiers of the Imperium up against aliens. He couldn't just let them die. He stood up, pulling one of the flares out of his bag and lit it. When his eyes adjusted to the sudden glare, he saw the lead biker had spotted the flash in the darkness and was wheeling in Samuel's direction, the others following. Samuel considered dropping the flare and running, but orc mines were unstable, and the weight of a man would set even the tank busters off. His heart, already racing, quickened further when he realised that the safest thing he could do was stand his ground and face the biker's charge. "Come on, you green bastards, come and get some!" he yelled over the roar of the bike's engines. It was probably the bravest thing he had ever done. Probably the last, too. Would anyone survive to tell the story of how he died? Could the crew in the Defixio even see what was happening? Samuel couldn't think of an answer because his mind was full of the bike screaming towards him. He could see the lead biker's bared teeth in the light from the flare, see the pinpricks of white in its tiny piggy eyes and the blur of the front wheel. It was some way into the minefield when it careened straight into an anti-vehicle mine so scrappily made it stuck out of the ground half the height of a man. The noise was so vast, Samuel was totally deafened, and a column of earth burst out of the ground. An instant later, a huge chain explosion erupted with such force Samuel found himself picked off his feet as the concussion hammered over him. He slammed onto the ground, breath knocked out of him, mind reeling, the whole world a swirling madness of white noise and explosions. When the noise subsided and he opened his eyes, he saw the air thick with smoke coiling from a rip in the ground longer than the skid from a dropship crash. The wan moonlight made strange shifting shapes in the smoke, and the smell of burnt fuel was dizzying. A bike wheel, licked with flame, rolled slowly along the ground. By the Emperor, thought Samuel. I'm alive. I can't believe it. I'm alive. Through his near deafness, he caught the ragged sound of an engine gunning, and the smoke parted to reveal the last biker, blackened and battered with blood-flecked teeth bared, clinging to his bike as it tore towards Samuel through the blast zone. Samuel acted on reflex. He lashed out his gun and fired. It was then that he realized he was armed only with the flare gun. The sparkling white flare spiraled towards the bike and shattered against the handlebars like a firework, leaving an incandescent comet trail as the bike hurtled forward. Samuel could see the orc's manic grin and the wicked squinting eyes behind its goggles, and knew he was going to die. There was a massive wash of heat as the bike took off at the last second in a ball of flame, somersaulting over him and cartwheeling across the plain. The rider was thrown off, on fire, further into the minefield. Samuel covered his head just in time to protect himself from the inevitable shower of debris from another detonating mine. Samuel watched as the flames gutted out. For the second time in half a minute, he was quite astonished to be alive. He lay back on the ground, suddenly exhausted, and got his first real sleep for months.
You are one lucky bitch, Chemdog.
The voice was Deneep's. It was morning and the sun was flooding the dank valleys of Jaeger's World with drab grey light. Samuel felt he was propped up against the slope. He was aching again, but mostly unhurt.
Them greenskin bastards cleared us a path, continued Deneep. And that last one, he must have caught his fuel tank. Went up like a flare shell, saw it from here. Even Kaelin was impressed.
Samuel looked across to the minefield. There was indeed a scar running right across it, plenty wide enough for the Deficio. Deneep scratched at the acneed skin around his throat implants. He had escaped the worst ravages of the chem mines because he had been too useful fixing the machines to risk at the workface, but he was still damned ugly.
So you solved us one problem, Samuel, but now we got us another.
He indicated the hulk of the Deficio, smoke still coiling off it. The tracks on the near side had been unpinned and lay limp on the ground.
We found enough links, but a couple of pins got sheared. Scaved one soon enough, but we can't find another. Not for the life of us. And it'll be our lives too, because we stuck out here in the open with a tank that won't move and a bunch of greenskins wondering why their mates haven't come back.
You should have woken me. I could have helped.
Karavras said to let you sleep, and didn't none of us argue with him, neither. Besides, we're not going to find it. We need something thin enough to fit, but strong enough to take the strain. Miracle we found one.
But Samuel went out and looked anyway. It wasn't that he dared to have any real hope. He just couldn't lie there and wait. The orcs had come, he knew, because they had a knack for being everywhere on the planet at once, and many guardsmen swore greenskins could hunt a man down by scent alone. He kept low and always checked the horizon for approaching orcs, once or twice spotting something dark and moving and hitting the ground until he was sure it was gone. And as he expected, there was nothing that might serve as a track pin, half buried in Jaeger's World's heavy earth, just metal fit only for scrap. There was no hope. But he didn't allow himself to be consumed with the knowledge that he would die. Many a time he had heard better guardsmen than him discover how slight their chances were, then shrug their shoulders and reply that, hell, a man's got to die somehow. Nevertheless, his steps were heavy and his head low as he clambered back over the ridge, and the sound he heard was engines. He hurried down the loose slope to see Defixio warmed up and ready to roll, smoke pumping from inefficient exhausts, trinkets and grisly trophies shaking with unhealthy vibrations of the cylinders. The front hatch went up and Kaelin looked out. There were a few more scavenged trinkets around his neck and hanging from his various ammo belts and pouches. A chem dog out foraging always came back with some new toys.
Samuel, ye grox lover, get in!
Samuel sprinted the last few metres and climbed in. The rest of the crew had been waiting for him. With a nod from Kara Vras, Deneep gingerly backed the Defixio off the slope. Then it turned and headed across the wide channel across the minefield, towards the other side of the plain and the Cadian HQ beyond. Samuel didn't ask what had been used as a track pin, probably the axle of an abandoned Orc vehicle, or even a direct replacement from another wreck Lehman Russ battle tank, of which there must be some lying around. And then he realised that Kara Vras was no longer carrying his titanium swagger stick. Samuel's turn at the lookout came. The last day had been nervous but hopeful. They had hidden under an overhang when a flight of smoking Orc flyers swooped overhead and often lurked behind ridges and rock formations as Orc patrols passed close by. Kara Vras had told them they were being hunted by Orcs eager to remove such an impertinent threat as a tank that dared run their gauntlet, and the hunters were closing in. But they had not been spotted, and time was on their side, because they were nearing their destination.
"Maybe you're not as unlucky as you look, Samuel," Kaelin had said, which was probably the most charitable words he had uttered in his life.
They now had to cross one last hill before the Cadian HQ was in sight. There would be some explaining to do. Where had they come from? Why were they alone? Where were the rest of the column? The Cadians would certainly make a point of packing away anything small and valuable whenever the chem dogs approached, but they would be able to eat, maybe sleep, pull a few days' light duties before someone figured out how to get them back to the Savlar regiment. Samuel didn't fancy the Defixio to make it. With a half-busted track and a hole in the side, especially since the constant supply of Lehman Russ spares was always required, the Cadians would probably break the old exterminator up and use the bits to patch up their own vehicles in the motor pool. But even Deneep thought it was a better end than a smouldering wreck in the middle of a planet no one really cared about. And now they were at the crest of the hill, the flats beyond rolling out before Samuel's eyes, the Cadian HQ finally coming into view. A grinning, lopsided horned skull totem, cut from sheets of metal and bolted together, stood on the roof of the command bunker. Burned-out Lehman Russ and Chimeras littered the compound. A Hydra flak cannon stood idle in one corner, pointing down and inwards, barrels still blackened from the fire it had poured into the attackers streaming through the breaches. The bodies of men and Orcs lay in piles around the centres of the heaviest fighting. The breach, the gateway, the mess and barracks complex where the men had made their stand. Where the fuel dump had been was a charred crater ringed with corpses. Buildings and bunkers had been turned inside out by demo charges, their contents, furniture, equipment, occupants, strewn across the ground. Those structures still standing bore scars around the windows and doors that had been used as fire points. Bodies in Cadian fatigues were displayed entwined in the razor wire that topped the rings of barricades and fences. Everywhere, the bullet scars, discarded weapons and the dead. Especially the dead. But the worst was outside. All around the HQ was a teeming city of tents and huts, brimming with greenskins. They fought, argued, divided the spoils and feasted on the supplies they had hauled out of the HQ's stores. The mad bikers who had so taken to Jaeger's World's landscape were buzzing like flies around the camp, eagerly burning captured fuel in pursuit of the blind speed they lived for. Campfires smouldered, and the breeze brought the reek of burning and filth.
"Can you see it?" called out Demrid from below.
"Stop!" said Samuel.
The Defixio ground to a halt. Damrid was the first out, scrambling over the turret seat and pushing his head out of the hatch.
"Imperator," he whispered,
one hand held to the pocket in which he carried his prayer book.
Xenos, Malef, what about forgiveness? Hasn't it been enough?
Damrid slithered back into the Deficio's hall. Deneep replaced him, eager to see what had caused such shock in his crewmate.
Those bastards, he said when he saw. Alien bastards, I should have known.
Samuel didn't know what to say. What can you say? When even that little hope a guardsman allows himself is torn away.
So, that's what broke the lad, continued Deneep, more to himself than to Samuel. He thought he was forgiven, he really did. That's why he never called you bad luck, like the rest of us. The Emperor was watching, he thought, because he had been forgiven.
For what? Deneep looked at him incredulously.
No one told you. Damrid's the worst. I mean, I did fix him for some pretty rough types, and a few people got hurt, but I never...
Deneep shook his head.
The lad was on a frontier world, raising hell since he was born. When they sent a mission to tame the place, Damrid and his boys took exception. You know his prayer book? Used to belong to a sister there. They say that as Damrid was hacking the poor bitch to pieces, all she could say was, he will forgive you. He will forgive you. Over and over. Threw her to the cub bears when they'd finished with her. He started reading the damn book on the prison ship, and by the time he got to the Dead Moons, he got it into his head he was forgiven.
Damrid. It didn't make any sense, but then sometimes there was a desperation about the way he believed, as if his faith was his only chance, and he had to hold on to it no matter what. He doesn't look like he went through the Dead Moons.
They kept him safe. A chaplain who believes. That's the rarest thing in the system. Worth keeping alive. And when the guard said they were raising up another chemdog regiment, he was first in line, ready to fight the Emperor's fight and smite the foes of humanity.
Deneep shook his head and whistled at the sight of the orcs running wild across the Cadian HQ, making belts of skin and necklaces of hands.
And now this, he should have made it. Really should have. Kid like him, just getting through it all without breaking up. That's like winning the war on your own.
When they had all looked upon the remains of the Cadian HQ and its slaughtered garrison, they slumbered down inside the Deficio and were silent. Suddenly, Caelan slammed a fist into the side of the hall.
For this we fight. We drag this lump of metal across the whole damn bitch of a planet, and this is what we get.
They all looked at him, and Samuel wished he would stay quiet. But like the rest of them, Caelan had felt hope building up during the journey's last leg, and he couldn't cope with having it torn away from him. His voice was rising to a screech.
Why now? Why couldn't they take the place a month earlier or a month later, or any time but now? They can't. What happened? Can't these damn Cadians even look after their own HQ?
Caelan slumped, suddenly exhausted. Deneep spoke weakly, his voice cracking.
The Jurn Regiment is supposed to be safe, past the Gulf. If we can get down there and cross it...
Now, Karavras's voice was strong. That was why he was an officer, thought Samuel grimly. He was as broken as the rest of them, but he could conceal it. We would be passing through the Orc drop sites. When we are found here, we will be executed quickly, for we are on the frontier and prisoners would use up too many supplies. If we break for the south, we will be imprisoned, enslaved, probably used as playthings, and then we will die anyway. The Gulf cannot be crossed. There have been enough prisoners that have tried.
So what then?
Caelan's voice was like a child's. Samuel was almost sure he was weeping.
We die?
Karavras looked at him. We die.
Everybody dies.
Samuel realized that he was the one speaking.
The truest of things, replied Karavras. All lives end.
So it is willed,
said Damrid. His face was pale as a dead man's, and he had a faraway expression. It was said a man could gain a place at the Emperor's side by his conduct, when all seemed lost. For even in the moments of the most terrible desperation, he was watching. He was judging. This was Damrid's last chance. If he died well, maybe that would mean he'd be forgiven, after all.
But how many know when their time comes? Continued Karavras. How many can see the end coming and be prepared? Not many. Of all those of our brothers in arms who died, only we can ready ourselves. It is in death, more than anything, that a man can be measured. Isn't that right, Demrid?
So it is willed, said the boy again.
Their patrols will catch up with us within the hour. Their camp sentries will be on to us long before that. We don't have much time, but it will be enough. We have been given the greatest gift that any man could ask, for now we have a purpose. We will spend the rest of our lives battling the alien foe, not because we are ordered or because we must, but because we choose to do so, to make our deaths mean something. It could be otherwise. We could die in flight or cowering or under the slaver's whip, but we will not.
Samuel looked up. It shouldn't mean anything, for still they were all dead men, but somehow it did. They could butcher his friends, strip away his hopes, wage a war that forced him to spend his life in exhaustion or fear, cooped up in a tank on a planet he hated. They could turn him into no better than a bad seed, but by the Emperor himself, those greenskin bastards couldn't make him die for nothing. He was on his feet, shivering with excitement and pride. Karavras stood too and smoothed out the creases in his greatcoat.
"Crew, load up," he said.
Every Savlar vehicle was equipped with hermetic seals around the hatches and doors. These they sealed so that even breathing the same air as the Chemdog crew would be a privilege the orcs would have to fight for. Karavras took off his officer's greatcoat, rolled up the black sleeves of his uniform, and slammed two autocannon shells home into the breach. Damrid calmly recited those hymns that meant the most to him, the ones about never despairing, because every good man has his place in his plan, even if that man in his humility knows it not. Karavras checked his sidearm, a dueling pistol that somehow he had managed to keep hold of, even though its ivory handle and fine workmanship would have caught the eye of the most honest Chemdog. The others did the same with weapons they had as trophies or charms. Kaelin's ugly snub-nosed gun, looted from a dead orc, a shotgun Deneep hid under the driver's seat, a rusted sergeant's sword Damrid had kept. A rummage through the Deficio's gear produced an old but working las pistol, which Samuel took. "This is the last gift I will ever receive," he thought. It felt like the first. They did not have long to wait. As darkness approached once again, a greenskin foot patrol approached from the camp, perhaps 50 strong. They stalked low in the gathering gloom, led by one a head or two taller than the rest, one arm hacked off and replaced with a brutal three-fingered claw that spat sparks from a power field. They had axes, guns, clubs. Kaelin whispered sharply to Karavras from his vision slit. He could see one of the bike patrols that had been hunting them approaching fast from the opposite direction. They were trapped. "Good," thought Samuel. "If you've got to go, then this is the way to do it." Karavras glanced up at Damrid. The lad nodded back.
"Fire," said Karavras.
The twin explosions burst in the midst of the orcs, blasting two or three to flailing limbs. Some tried to scatter, but the leader grabbed a couple by the scruffs of their necks, flung them forward, pointed with his monstrous claw, and bellowed a command that could only be, "Charge." They ran forward, brandishing their weapons. Samuel heard Karavras roll the smoking casing out of the breach and haul another two shells in, as strongly and smoothly as Grek had done.
"Range," called the officer, voice strained with the effort of forcing the breach cover home.
"Close," shouted back Damrid.
"Fire."
The two blasts merged into one as a hole was torn out of the advancing patrol. Some were thrown forward to collide with their fellows in the front, and two of them were thrown into the air in bits. Samuel took the opportunity, slowed down in disarray, the leader cracking two heads together to stop his troops from fleeing. The patrol was a fine target. He opened up with his heavy bolter, seeing orcs stitched through with explosive shells illuminated in the muzzle flare. Two or three more went down, and the charge was halted. Now Deneep crunched the gears, and the Deficio turned towards the orcs. Samuel kept firing, keeping orc heads down, and he could hear the wet crunch of greenskins under Deficio's tracks.
Kaelin was already firing on his side, meaning the bikers were almost upon them. The foot patrol blazed away with every chance they were given. The shells were impacting fiercely on the Defixio's hull. The noise was appalling, for the orcs liked their weapons loud, but Samuel didn't care. They could make all the noise they wanted. They weren't taking down these dead moon scummers without the hardest fight of their lives. His heavy bolter roared with defiance. He felt boiling inside him. And another orc was run through on a lance of hot steel. There was a sound like a thundercrack as a crude orc grenade went off, buckling the metal, patching the hull at Samuel's side. Shells ricocheted off the edge of Samuel's vision slit, but he didn't flinch. His ammo belt was running out and Karav Ras rammed another one into the heavy bolter's breech. Samuel glanced at him in gratitude, saw the officer understood, and went back to firing. He could barely see the targets now. His vision was full of a heaving press of green flesh as the orcs tried to swamp the Defixio. Another grenade went off and Kaelin swore, his heavy bolter torn off its mounting by the explosion. Without pausing, he grabbed his orc gun and opened fire at the talons clawing at the breached hull. Samuel could hear the bikers now, even above the rest of the din, as the riders dismounted and added their weight to the assault. There was a shriek of metal and suddenly the Defixio was open to the sky. The leading orc was standing over them, Powerclaw holding the turret he had just ripped clean of the hull. Damrid tumbled back down into the hall, grabbed the sword and began to hack at the green arms and heads that appeared over the edges of the ragged metal. Kaelin's side gave way seconds later and he was fighting back the encroaching greenskins with his bare hands, ammo expended. One of the greenskins got Deneep, an axe swinging down and burying itself in his back. Karav Ras opened fire with his dueling pistol, each shot hitting home, and Samuel followed suit, last pistol bolts burning into green skin. He heard Kaelin yelling obscenities as he was dragged through the hole in the hull by a dozen clawed hands, and Samuel felt sure Kaelin would have wanted to go out swearing. The massive orc reached down and grabbed Damrid in its claw, hoisting him clean out of the tank, shearing through the boy's skinny body, tossing him aside, roaring its rage and showing its huge fangs. Karav Ras grabbed an autocannon shell and rammed it into the monster's mouth with the strength of a man who knows he was out of time. The orc swiped at him with the power claw, batting him aside, and shots from the swarming orcs tore into the officer's torso. Samuel snatched up Deneep's discarded shotgun. He could feel the greenskins all around him, teeth biting into his legs, claws sinking into his shoulders. But there was no time. Not an end. Not while he still had his mark to make. He fired a single round from the shotgun, aimed right into the face of the immense orc leader. With a roar like the end of the world, the autocannon shell lodged in its jaw detonated, blowing the beast's head clean off, tearing a huge chunk out of its monstrous body. It swayed, as if it hadn't realized it was dead. Then it fell. Knowing that he had died giving as good as he had got, his heart pumping sheer glory through his veins, Samuel fell under the heaving mass of greenskins and felt no more. "You're one lucky swine," said the voice. It wasn't Sevlar. The accent was different. "Well enough to talk?" "Just..." Samuel was surprised to hear his own voice replying. He opened his eyes. Jaeger's world's sunlight was never very bright, but he still squinted after so long. Asleep, unconscious, dead. The shadow in front of him became the shape of a man, a lined face and grey hair, dressed in Cadian fatigues. A colonel, Samuel saw from the chevrons on his shoulder.
"You mind telling me what happened to your son?"
"Ran into some orcs, sir." Samuel could hardly believe he was speaking. He had thought he must be dead before, twice. But this time, he had been certain. He had been there waiting for it, and when it came, he faced it and refused to let it take him without a fight. He struggled into a sitting position. Behind the colonel was the smoking shell of the Defixio. He wouldn't have recognized it as a tank at all, had he not spent the last greatest moment of his life inside it. Skeletons surrounded it, just as charred. The massive jawbones and beetling craniums of orcs were everywhere, and a couple of human skulls that had once belonged to his comrades.
"Took a ton of them with you. Must have thought you were dead, huh?"
I was sort of counting on it, sir. Like I said, one lucky swine. Fuel tanks went up and threw you clear. Week or two with the sisters in the field hospital and you'll be back in the action.
The colonel looked over Samuel's tattered fatigues and the gas mask that hung around his neck.
You from Savlar?
Yes, sir.
Steal anything and we'll hang you.
Yes, sir.
Samuel could sit up, but he couldn't walk. One leg was busted so bad he couldn't feel it. As he was loaded onto a stretcher, he could see the rest of the Cadians clearing up the debris of the Orc camp they had overrun in recapturing their HQ. The Orc totem was being taken down from the roof of the command bunker, and the bodies lined up in mass graves. Nothing Caravras had said was true. His friends, they were his friends, in those final hours, without a doubt, had died no better deaths than the hundreds of Cadians days earlier, or the poor souls killed when the convoy was hit. They hadn't achieved anything, not really. The war on Jaeger's world would carry on without them. The Imperium was exactly the same as it would have been had none of them ever lived. But that wasn't the point. They felt they were achieving something in death. Even Caravras believed his own words. Of that, Samuel was sure. They believed they were dying for a cause. They had been allowed to confront their deaths head on and not have it finding them without warning as they cowered alone. How many guardsmen on Jaeger's world could say that? It was a terrible place, this galaxy, that ate up the lives of men. But sometimes there was hope. Sometimes there was something you could salvage from it, some dignity and pride, even if it was right at the end. It was more than most men got in the guard, or on the dead moons, or anywhere else. Samuel couldn't properly understand it himself, but the crew of the Defixio had won a fine and noble victory of their own. Now, of course, Samuel was a sole survivor twice over, and it would be a miracle if anyone would ever so much as look at him without muttering something dark under their breaths about how that man had used up enough luck for 100 men. But there were worse things. In fact, he had something to be proud of. He had died a total of 3 times now, and 2 of those were pretty good send-offs. That wasn't a bad strike rate. The Cadians began to carry him back to the HQ compound, through the wreckage of the Orc camp. One of the stretcher-bearers glanced around at him and must have wondered why, when he had a shattered leg and every one of his friends was dead, all this crazy Savlar kid could do was smile to himself. Thanks for watching, everybody. If you enjoyed this content, please do give me a like on the video and subscribe if you're not subscribed already. I'd appreciate that. You can see here the names of all the people who are supporting the channel. Thank you ever so much to everybody who is. It really means a lot. And if you'd like to join them, there's links below. But no obligation, you know, just if you want to, it's fine. All right, I'll see you next time. Thanks very much for watching again. See ya. Cheers.